I think partly that motivates this decision, too, is Jaden Daniels' ability. And what we're seeing from Caleb Williams, how he's progressed, starting off the season to where he is after week five, they've made a lot of progress. Daniels has been sensational all year. I think we see Bo Nix getting better. I think those situations in Denver, those situations in Chicago, and obviously in Washington have said, you know, it's now or never. We need to get this done. And you don't want to start them in a game over in London where you're traveling, and you certainly don't want to start them when you're playing on the road, whether no matter who it is. So to me, this was the best game to do it would have been last week against Miami. So it's going to be a tough game for Drake May, but the movement that he can bring to their offense in terms of making loose plays with his feet is much better than Brissett. And look, Brissett got the crap beat out of him. There's no denying it. It was a hard game for him to play.
Mike Lombardi on the Pat McAfee Show. That was yesterday. Hour number two here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. We'll be joined by Patriots defensive coordinator DeMarcus Covington, Patriots right guard, formerly right tackle, Mike Nwenu. We'll get his thoughts on the move. It's something that he's expressed to us in the past he wanted to do. Now he's done it. How's he feeling about it? Of course, all their thoughts on the Drake May decision that Lombardi was just talking about. We'll get to a four-pack of questions for Patriots and Texans on a Friday in the Friday four-pack that comes your way 15 minutes from now. We'll also get the Keefe's Keys.
Ooh!
I'd say one sharp. I guess that's TBD on guess.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
It's scheduled for 1
fluid.
O'clock. It is. Yeah. It's always fluid on these Patriots Fridays. Number of texts already, 37937, asking about the parlay. We'll tweet that out and get it out on Instagram shortly. All of our picks, if you want to follow along, at Jones and Keefe. Mm-hmm. I've also been told in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, if you shop around a little bit, Keefe, you might get better odds on certain apps compared to other ones.
Oh, because, true. Yeah, we just fired into one that we had open. So, yeah, look around.
Amari Cooper might get better odds if you shop around a little bit, is what we're being told.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. Lombardi is discussing everything about the Drake May decision. Just a few updates on that. Jerod Mayo, last hour, Keefe, said that there is a renewed sense of energy around the team.
How about that?
As Drake May has had a couple of good days of practice. This is the spark we were talking about earlier in the show.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows how long it lasts, but I think it has to be a little bit of a shot in the arm. It's the third overall pick coming in. They've seen him play and practice more than we have, obviously, so I think they know what he's capable of. Also, not to take a shot at Jacoby Brissett, but they also know it's not that. Like, we just went out there for five straight weeks. The last couple, really a step backwards for Brissett. You know, you weren't getting great quarterback play. You weren't getting average quarterback play. So I think making a move like this still early enough in the season. Now, I know 1-4 is, you know, a brutal start, but this isn't coming with four games to go or five games to go, and you're saying, all right, we just got to kind of play out the string. You have your whole season in front of you. You got a home game. I think there's going to be certainly extra energy with the crowd seeing the rookie quarterback out there. And I'm not shocked that the team feels the same way.
So renewed sense of energy. That could evaporate quickly to your point.
Yeah, fine.
But in the meantime, it does feel like there's a little bit of energy and buzz. I think the fan base would reflect that as well. I think you'll see that early on. How long will it last? We can debate. A few other updates. Mayo says Stevenson's foot injury, and he hasn't practiced the last 2 days, doesn't fall into the category of something that should keep him out long-term, but
long-term,
he also hinted that Kevin Harris or Terrell Jennings could be activated off the practice squad. So my guess is Drake May isn't going to have Ramondre Stevenson in his first start.
Yikes. Yeah, he's listed as questionable still. You know, this afternoon we might get more of an update. I wonder if he'll come down to being a game-time decision. Like, it might be one of those type of deals.
Yeah, my guess is he's not playing if I had to guess, but it might not come out until Sunday morning. But that if you're reading the tea leaves, doesn't look
stinks.
Good. He did provide positive updates on Cole Strange and Christian Barmore.
Oh, well, I'm more interested in one than the other.
Barmore, he was asked, do you feel like he could play at some point this season or better about the chances of him playing at some point this season better than you did a few weeks ago? He said yes.
Barmore?
I would say that.
He was just done for the year.
Well, that's what I thought.
Oh.
But it sounds like there's an indication. I think people saw on his social media last night, he tweeted out like an hourglass.
Oh.
Or put out on Instagram or wherever an hourglass emoji.
Time is running out on all of us.
Yep. And so, right, maybe it was more morbid than that. Maybe he was just a few edibles and out looking at the night sky last night. And he was like, whoa, man.
We are so small.
We're all just specks of sand on a beach, man.
What if this is a simulation? What if the whole thing is a sim?
Exactly. It was like a tear in the Matrix last night.
Nice job by, is that Terp back running this or is that Brian?
Go.
I don't know who gets credit for this.
They're both back there. They're
just fighting over control of Twitch back there.
Tag team and Twitch. So, there's the Barmore Look at that. Look at the impressions that he got. Look at the views on Barmore's Hourglass tweet.
I'm telling you.
So he's a popular guy.
You know, I mean, Instagram and social media informs like half of the questions down there these days.
I'm interested in that. And so, you know, because that was a scary situation with him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great player, but like, you know, life. So you're hoping that everything's going to be all right. Who knows? Maybe he comes back later in the year. As for Cole Strange,
he says he's starting to look like an NFL player.
What?
I don't think that's quite how he meant it, but that's damning with faint praise.
Better late than never.
Happy they drafted him in the first round a few years ago. He's starting to look like an NFL player. But he also said that the team is 100% considering him at center, as his rehabilitation from knee surgery continues to move along. So those are some of the news and notes from Gerard.
So I would take that, and maybe...
You would?
Yes, because is he a good guard?
No.
So maybe he can play center, because right now they're center.
What makes you think that?
Well, the other two guys that are playing guard as of this moment...
He's a bad guard, so he'll be a good center?
Maybe.
I mean, well, maybe sure, yeah. But like, what makes you think that?
No, I think he stinks overall, but I know that he stinks at guard. This is the unknown, Jones. This is the unknown.
I do.
And maybe this is me staring
like
at the sky
unknown.
Last night. Maybe this is an impact of that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe this unlocks something in Cole Strange. I'm just trying to be somewhat positive. I feel
when
like
your coach says he's starting to look like an NFL player. And I know he means from a rehab standpoint, but still.
Yeah, no, it's not ideal.
I don't like it. I think I'll take Nick Leverett over Cole Strange.
Nick Leverett's pretty bad, though.
Yeah, I think I'll take him.
So I think we're more than half of the pressures last week because of Nick Leverett.
Probably.
I think he got credited with like 9. And everybody else combined.
That's
like
with
less.
Sitting Duck Jacoby Brissett back there, though. Now,
also,
now Drake May, it doesn't even matter.
True. He run all
I guess
around.
If it doesn't matter, then what does it matter if Cole Strange is
every
out
time
there?
Nick Leverett completes a shotgun snap, I'm surprised. So, like, I'm willing to try somebody else.
Okay. You're a Cole Strange guy. I didn't know
not,
that about you, but you're
I'm
a Cole
not,
Strange guy.
I couldn't be further from the case.
Okay.
But I know he's not a guard, so maybe he's a center. That's how I look at it. Maybe he's like, you know what? I just don't touch the ball enough. He's like, I need to touch the ball in every play.
Yeah,
get me involved.
Yeah, I feel like this is going the Corpusallo way for you right now, where I got backed into a Corpusallo corner that I couldn't get out of. I feel like you're getting backed into a Cole Strange corner.
Yeah, some
there.
Guys are trash at shortstop. You put him at second base, though. You're like, look at this guy. Nice little player.
That is a good point.
That's him.
It's hard to argue with.
That's him.
Mike and Wenyu. No offense, he's going to join us later.
Better
today.
Guard.
Trash at tackle.
He's not trash at tackle.
Trash at tackle.
Better at guard.
But a strong guard.
Cole Strange might be the center of the future.
You know what? Fair point. I stand corrected. 617-779-7937. So, Lombardi, we're playing you that clip. And he's discussing the move and how the ideal time would have been the Dolphins game and blah, blah, blah. I think if it wasn't going to be week one, we all agree the Dolphins game would have been the time. How much of this do you think is ownership? I know we've talked about that a lot this week. Keith, you can jump in on that on the phones. How are we feeling about ownership and their role in all of this? Meaning the 1-4 start, Alex Van Pelt on offense, Gerard Mayo looking in over his head, the botched announcement with the quarterback, which is something I want to try to get answers out of Onwenu and DeMarcus Covington. When did the team find out about it? When did you guys know? You know, I don't think they're going to say any of it bothered them, but we'll try to read between the lines. You know, the botched announcement with quarterback, just the approach and the roster, like how much of that is on the owner, who on the one hand thinks he's a Hall of Famer and is miffed by the fact he's not in the Hall of Fame. On the other hand, the second he lost his all-time great quarterback and his Hall of Fame coach, it's completely fallen off a cliff.
So I guess three things I'm most upset with ownership about is not throwing a ton of money at offensive coordinator, because it is so important when you have a rookie quarterback or even a second, third-year quarterback hasn't been unlocked.
Did you see any of the reports about they did attempt to throw a bunch of money at Zach Robinson and he didn't want to come here?
So,
I'm sorry, not Zach Robinson.
Nick Cayley?
Nick Cayley. Thank you. It was Nick Cayley.
Yeah, but then there were reports that Nick Cayley was like Swayman and just like kept asking for more and more and more type of thing. And they were like, well, you haven't even really done it. So like, I don't know if Nick Cayley would have been the end. I would have been happy with Nick Cayley. I think that would have been sort of like a shot. I wanted Zach Robinson more.
I would have been happier with Nick Cayley than Alex Van Pelt, but I wouldn't have been. I didn't think that was a very imaginative move either.
I really wanted Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
You can go, but you check the tape. You go back in the time. I've always liked Cliff
Kingsbury.
Interesting.
We weren't working together at the time. I didn't realize you were so bullish on Kingsbury, but that's score one for Keith.
So I like him. I liked Zach Robinson, but I feel like he had a good relationship with Morris, so that was kind of locked in. They got their 12th choice, and it was a guy that just got let go by a team. And whether they ended up giving him an extension or not, I guess that's sort of been reported out there that he's not just a free guy. They are paying him. But that was so significant. Like, I don't think we can forget in the months after the season last year, we were saying just how important that spot is. Like, that was one of the most important hires. So they're already going with Mayo. They had their mind made up 5 years ago. They had their mind made up as Gerard Mayo. Fine. Right? We can kind of I'm not all that hung up on that. Whatever. That was their decision. I think Vrabel probably would have been better for this season, but that's kind of beside the point. I think the offensive coordinator kind of cheaping out there or just settling for who was available and not really pushing the issue is their single biggest issue. I think after that, it's you got to tell Elliott Wolf you have money to get a left tackle and to, you know, spend a little bit extra on Calvin Ridley. Sure, that to me isn't as important, though, as the offensive coordinator and a left tackle. Because one of the reasons why a lot of us believe Drake May didn't start till week six because the offensive line was in shambles. Well, you knew it was in shambles because you used your first two picks on a quarterback and a receiver, and you didn't spend any money in free agency or make a trade. So, to me, Alex Van Pelt, offensive line, are where I have my biggest issues with Kraft.
Yeah, so my issue, and it does relate back to the quarterback decision, and I'm happy they're making the switch. And I guess I'm happy ownership ultimately stepped in. But I would just say this idea that Robert and Jonathan don't meddle is foolish to me, because I think they meddled in the pick. You know, like, I'm not saying they are actually submitting the draft card, but I think they made it clear to Elliott Wolf and whomever was in charge of that draft pick, you're taking a quarterback. We need a quarterback. There's quarterbacks here. It's a good class. Whether it's Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels, you're taking one of them. So figure that out. I believe that. And I think it's a big reason why they didn't trade down. I think Elliott Wolf, if he had his druthers, would have traded down in the draft. They didn't because ownership wouldn't let them, is my belief. And making Drake May start this game, or making the switch, rather, to Drake May to start this game, I think is, again, a reflection on ownership. And they want to be viewed, Keith, like the Rooneys or the Maras or like one of these legacy owners, especially in Pittsburgh, where they don't panic and fire coaches.
They've had three ever, right?
You know, they're very hands-off and they're very patient. I think that's how Kraft wants to be
viewed. And they're competitive almost every year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yes. Pretty much some of these teams are.
Yeah, I think that's how he wants to be viewed. And it turns out, you know, this year he's acting a lot more like Dave Tepper in the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, like, can you win as an owner? Have you been there for multiple coaches and multiple quarterbacks to have success? Now, this one's a little bit different because nobody has 20 years of success, right? That's a long time. Yeah. Like, other, you know, that's a couple of careers for good players, like Hall of Famers. But you had that. But prior to, it obviously wasn't great, you know, and then obviously post, it's been a disaster. And really, right now, your only hope, based on what the roster looks like today, is that Drake May is really good.
Yeah,
because Drake May isn't really good, holy crap.
Yeah, and, like, and look, I guess if I'm saying the Crafts were pushing for the draft pick and they push for the move, if Drake May is good and good right away, I'll give them some credit. But just don't tell me they don't meddle and don't tell me they don't get in the middle of these decisions.
We're bringing in talent 1,000%. So have a lot of cap space.
Love it.
And cash. Yeah. Ready to burn some cash.
That's still.
I just think those are two of my.
Still sitting in piles.
That and then Elliott Wolf be like, we're going to weaponize the offense,
yeah,
are two of my favorite quotes, because they said those thinking that that's what it was going to be. And then they got called into the office and was like, oh, well, within reason. Like, we're not. Actually, it's kind of crazy to burn cash. We don't want to burn cash. Why would it be crazy to burn cash?
Do you think Wolf got called in for the weaponizing the offense, or do you think Wolf believes they weaponized the offense? Because I'm afraid it's the second thing.
I hope he got called in.
I hope
he can't think this is weaponized.
I think Mayo 1,000% got called in.
I think
that one's clear.
Yeah.
I think Wolf might believe they weaponized the offense. Keith, he told us with a straight face that they have the answers on the offensive line.
So that's different. So he's wrong about the offensive line.
Yeah,
but
he's wrong about weaponizing
now,
the offense.
Do you give him any credit at all? And this is kind of, I guess, sort of a loser mentality, but in on Calvin Ridley, in on Brandon Ayuk, understanding that what you have isn't good enough if you're in on those guys?
In to a point, but yes.
So, yeah. I mean, my point is Elliott Wolf at least views this roster as not like, we're all good. Like, if he's willing to trade pieces and spend whatever the guaranteed money ended up being on Brandon Ayuk, it's like, all right, at least he recognizes that there are better players out there.
Yeah. Have you changed your tune at all on Davante Adams? Like, is it worth, like, and the more it drags out, would he be more willing to look at a place like New England as opposed to a contender if they're going to pay him some money? Like,
what's funny is,
because I would knock him for that if they're not, Wolf meaning, I would knock him for not calling on Davante Adams if they haven't called.
I would have called anyway. I didn't think it was realistic, and I thought he would have laughed at you. But I also feel like, what if Drake May looks pretty good? Just play this out. I know this is crazy, but he looks pretty good. And Aaron Rodgers and the Jets continue to struggle. If they get waxed on Monday to the Bills, they're 2-4. Mm-hmm. They have their second coach in the season. His buddy Derek Carr is hurt for the Saints. So maybe now he's like,
Wait a minute. The Saints suck. The Jets suck.
Saints suck. Jets suck. Patriots also suck. But what if they give me like a new contract or something? And I don't know. Like it's
that's the only enticement.
Maybe
you
not
have.
Quite as far fetched. It's still unlikely. Like somebody like the Commanders or the Bills to just scoop that guy up immediately.
Yeah.
But
Chiefs.
It's worth a call.
Yeah. No. I would knock Wolf for not making the call. They should make the call.
Yeah.
Is what I think.
What do you think ends up happening with him though? Because that was 2 weeks ago. He's quote unquote hurt and he's not playing again this week. How long can they really drag that out?
I mean, the deadline's like week 8, I think. I think that's when they moved it to a few weeks ago or a few years ago, maybe this offseason. I thought it's like right smack in the middle of the year. They keep moving it back. So they have another couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks to sort something out. I mean, I think they're morons for not taking an offer from the Chiefs if the Chiefs are giving them the best offer.
Yeah.
So he'll move. I don't have a great feel on where. I would say Kansas City or Buffalo. Like, those are the teams that feel the most desperate. So those are the teams that'll probably offer the most. And the Raiders, again, I think they'd be morons not to take the best draft pick, whether it's Kansas City or anybody else.
Looks like November 5th is the trade deadline, so that is right after Week 9.
Okay, Week 9, so not a Week 8.
So right, right after Week 9. Yeah, and that's so probably because of there's 18 weeks now. So smack, half, right down in the middle.
Smack in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
So do you think ownership push for this? I do. Do you care? It does bother me that I think ownership calls down and says, we have an international game looming. We have empty seats. We have fans booing the product on the field. Make the switch now. And so, I think that happened. That if it did happen and I'm right, that would bother me, even if I'm happy that May is getting the start.
So that's I'm more that. I'm more like, all right, at least it's the decision that I wanted. Maybe this isn't the right reasons. And I think the head coach should have had say the whole time. But that ship had sailed. We don't think he had say week one. So his case got stronger and stronger as the season has gone on, and maybe he was able to win it over, or maybe they did get a call from the top office, and they were like, hey, let's make this move. But on the one hand, if Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft, we assume, just as you know, businessmen, they probably want interest in the team, sellouts and all that stuff. Drake May starting week one, or at the very least week two when they were home, would have made a lot of sense, and they didn't step in it then. They didn't meddle in it then. And it's not like they're 4-1 or 3-2.
Right.
Like, they suck right now.
Correct.
So he's like, what are we doing? So even if they did step in now, it's like, hey, they gave you guys a chance. They gave the football guys a chance. You had 5 games to kind of figure this thing out.
And it's gotten worse.
No, that's the other thing. It's not trending up.
It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is one case where I was like, good. Maybe you should have meddled in it a week earlier.
Okay. Do you have a problem if the Crafts meddled? Do you think they meddled? And what do you expect out of Drake May in his first start this weekend? 617-779-7937. We have misleading. We'll revisit what went down on the Greg Hill Show earlier today. It's a half hour from now.
Are they going to, you know, make every effort that he finishes the season if healthy?
Yes, they are. And I asked that specific question to Mayo yesterday using that quote. So this is his team. This is Drake May's show come hell or high water. Does that mean if he goes 0 for 18 and he can't get out of his own way, that you don't have to take him off the field? I would imagine that that would be an outlier expectation, but he wouldn't be going on the field if they thought he was even capable of that.
Tommy Curran yesterday on a Tommy Thursday on WEEI Afternoons with Arcan and Hart. We talk to Tom every Tuesday here on Jones and Keith. If you missed any of it, Audacy app, AUDACY, get that on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. I've been informed, Keith.
Yes.
And this is new technology on the Audacy app.
Oh, I love this.
But, you know, maybe you don't want to call in real time and spar with Keith and myself.
Sure.
We're very
know how that's going to go, don't you?
We got big brains.
Not good for you.
We're very quick on our feet. We're very witty guys.
That's right.
And so maybe you don't want to call up in real time and spar with us. Maybe
Listen, I get it.
Maybe you want to plan out a take or feedback on the show.
Yep.
Here's what you can do.
Yeah, what's that?
You go on the Odyssey app.
All right.
You go to the WEEI page.
Yep.
There's a little microphone to the right side of the screen.
Okay.
Click on that. You can record a voicemail effectively for up to 60 seconds.
A minute.
You got 60 seconds.
Minute.
You can rant. You can rave. You can give us feedback. We can't interject.
Right.
We're probably going to have somebody edit it.
We'll play like 10 seconds.
We're not just going to play it without listening to it.
God, no.
Yeah, we might. But anyway, that's on the Odyssey app. Sweet. AUDACY. It's another way to interact and give feedback.
I'm told it's...
Hey, Rich. This is Dad. Just checking.
What's this?
Did you hear that they signed Antonio Brown? Holy shit. Talk to you.
Yeah, you couldn't believe it.
I've never heard that.
That was he left me a message on my phone.
Wow,
doesn't
nice.
Leave me a lot of messages, and it was about Antonio Brown.
Wow.
He had good foresight, I think. He knew that was going to be a big deal. So we're also being
real
told,
excited dad energy is what that is.
This is not the Weiner line. So no. I know some are saying it's the Weiner. It's not the Weiner line.
It's not
something entirely different.
Yeah.
You can leave a message and we'll play it back later.
It's the Weiner app.
It's the Weiner app. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the app. So get the Odyssey app if you didn't have it before. And we will play these, though, in all seriousness. So if you want to do this, you want to react to whatever we're talking about, it's just more work for Billy and Nick. But, you know, they said great.
No, it does nothing, does nothing for us. We can just sit there and listen to it. Yeah, it's more work for them. They're
on
board.
Send it.
So you can interact with our show, all the shows here on WEEI. Go get the app. All right. It's a Friday, which
Let's
means
go.
We got a four-pack of questions for Patriots and Texans. Billy, what do we have this week?
Just a second. I had to get it open. All right. Number one, who off the Texans would you most want on the Patriots?
Heard that plenty of times. Yeah. What was that, Billy?
The rapper stuck.
Who off
How many clasps are on this thing? I don't. How does this even work? I don't get it.
Just leave it on.
Can Sorry. I ask?
Sorry, Billy. Yes,
it's all right. No, it's all right. I caused this fiasco.
this is on me.
Who off the Texans?
I've also said that.
Yeah.
Who off the Texans would you most want on the Patriots?
So, obviously, there's a lot of excitement around Drake May, and you hope Drake May is really good. Some of us, like Chris Schein, think he's going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
I think you still have to take C.J. Stroud. I think you just have to take the guy that you know is a top 10 quarterback.
How dare you,
with
Keith?
With room to grow.
Keith?
Is that who you take?
Yeah, how dare you? Shooting confetti everywhere earlier this week about Drake May, and now you're replacing him with C.J. Stroud?
I thought it was a good idea, and so did everybody else.
The man hasn't even played a game yet, so you're going with Stroud. No, that's not my answer.
C.J. Stroud. I'm going with C.J. Stroud. They have a lot of good options, though, on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you taking?
So, I've gone offense, quarterback, wide receiver basically every week.
You did claim Nico Collins is the best receiver in the league.
I love CJ. Well, he's hurt. I love CJ
Stroud. But
you
can still take him. It's not for this weekend. It's for just going forward.
Okay, but I'm without him for 4 weeks. I like Nico Collins.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Not evidently, not enough.
I like Tank Dell. I thought Steph Diggs was going to be cooked. Obviously, he can still play.
Yep.
Give me Will Anderson on the other side.
Will good Anderson. Choice.
You know, rookie one. Of the year last year defensively. I'm not going to answer quarterback and wide receiver every week, so this will be the 1 week.
I might.
I don't do it. Give me Will Anderson off that team.
All right.
You're going to see him constantly in the backfield this week. We'll see if it makes a difference for Drake May. But that'll be my pick this weekend off the Houston Texans. Number three pick in the draft last year, defensive rookie of the year.
Danielle Hunter is another good choice, too. They just signed him in free agency. He's
Patriots
one of the better pass rushers in the league.
Easily could have had him if they decided to, you know, spend any money and or bring in players that weren't on their team last year onto their team this year.
Well, they were getting rid of pass rushers. They weren't bringing in pass rushers.
Correct. That's
a big, that's much, much different.
Okay, so CJ Stroud and Will Anderson, our answers.
All right, what Texans jersey, past or present, would you want?
So this one's a little chalky. I like to usually go with one that might not be the most popular player. Okay. He might not be the most popular in franchise history because that would be a separate guy. I'm going Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
Unbelievable receiver on a lot of bad teams, but always put up crazy numbers. Didn't say much, except he hated Cortland Finnegan. He hated Cortland Finnegan with the passion of a thousand suns. And a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame, and I don't know if he didn't get in this year, right? No, he is. I'm sorry.
I think he did get in this class.
Well, there was a group of receivers that are all kind of similar, and they only – so, yeah, he is in the Hall of Fame, deserves to be, so I would go with Andre Johnson.
Okay, so I should have had another answer prepared here because I should have assumed, knowing you, that you were going to answer Andre Johnson, which was also going to be my pick. Now, why am I blanking on that same exact team? Who was the tight end who would catch –
Owen Daniels?
Was it Owen Daniels?
You want an Owen Daniels jersey?
Yeah, I do want to know. It is Owen Daniels. I like Owen Daniels. I was an Owen Daniels guy.
Yeah, all right.
Obviously not too deeply rooted. I liked Owen Daniels when he was playing on those teams.
Did you?
I did.
What about Arian Foster's
a good
one?
Arian Foster's a good one. Mario Williams would be a good one. I don't want a Matt Schaub jersey.
No, you don't?
We
JJ
don't get,
Watt?
We don't get... Oh, I don't like J.J. Watt. But
Brian
I can see wanting to wear that jersey. Oh, Brian Cushing would be nice.
Matt, you mentioned Matt Schaub.
Last question. Do you have a favorite superhero?
No, I don't.
Super villain.
I don't.
This matchup. Fun guy.
Doesn't have a favorite superhero.
Honestly, might fit in on the Patriots.
Yeah, no, I don't.
He would have gone outside and looked at the Northern Lights, though, Jones.
He probably would have.
Yeah, he probably would have.
You know who was good for a year?
Now, wait a minute. None of the Oilers don't count for this, right? Like, we don't get the Oilers history?
No.
Get the Oilers history with Tennessee?
They're an expansion. Yeah, Tennessee Titans, when they play them, you could grab an Oilers jersey because their throwback is an Oiler.
By the way, so disrespectful to Owen Daniels. Two-time Pro Bowler, one-time Super Bowl champ.
It was a down couple of years at tight end, evidently.
He was, I don't know how, he gets credit for, actually, he had a good year his last year in Denver. He won with Peyton, 517 yards.
You know who was a nice little player, though?
Who's that?
Steve Slayton.
Oh, Steve Slayton.
Steve Slayton's rookie year was a stud, then kind of fell off a cliff after that. But he had some nice moments.
Any votes back there, Bill?
Yeah, Big Vince.
Big Vince.
That's a good one.
Big Vince is
big
a good
7-5.
One.
7-5.
Yeah.
That's a nice one.
That is
yeah,
a good I've one. Seen... Oh, Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins would be a great one.
Oh, that is a great one.
Because he also introduced
David Johnson.
No. He introduced a new wave of receivers not wearing numbers in the 80s.
Hopkins is a great it's more recent, which is maybe why I forgot about it, but that is a great one. Jadeveon Clowney.
Jadeveon Clowney is a good one.
You know, this is very me and very random, but you know, I had Houston Talk Radio all fired up going into a playoff game saying that Jadeveon Clowney stinks. And
he kind of does.
I had to go on the radio. I didn't have to, but I was contacted
to go on
like morning drive radio in Houston and like defend my position on Jadeveon Clowney like 10 years ago.
How about this? Yeah. Dice, welcome back.
So
Dice,
it's a long way of saying I don't love the Jadeveon Clowney pick. Yeah.
Dice on the text. He had a Dominic Davis jersey in middle school.
Who was Dominic Davis?
A running back. The deep cut.
I don't remember Dominic Davis.
That's a
Davis.
Deep cut.
That is a deep one. So deep, I don't even remember it.
Dominic Davis.
Okay, nice. All right, what else we got, Billy?
Can the Texans win the Super Bowl this year?
Absolutely. I've been advocating for them to be on our top tier for many weeks. We have them up there now. Now, look, the Patriots beat them or the Patriots even cover.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of a knock because, Keith, you made a good point earlier.
They play close games.
They play close games against bad teams. The Colts are bad. The Jaguars are bad. Now, those are divisional games. Maybe that makes you feel a little differently. The Bears are another one.
Yep.
So let's see. Let's get a real good look at it this weekend. The Patriots are tough to gauge against, but they shouldn't let the Patriots hang around. If they're truly a Super Bowl contender, I may be singing a different tune on Monday, but today, sitting here, yes, I feel like they can win the Super Bowl.
If they cover on Sunday, it'll be the first time they won by a touchdown. Everything's been inside of a touchdown so far. Then they have one loss, although to the Vikings, who are a very good team. And, you know, they've dealt with injuries, but so has every other team. So I think that the Texans can. I mean, I wouldn't bet it, but they're on that short list. I mean, every Tier Tuesday, we've had them just a bit outside. After last week beating the Bills, jump them up to the top one. I think them and the Ravens and the Chiefs right now look like the class of the AFC through 5 weeks. So they definitely can. They were a very trendy pick right off the rip.
Yeah.
And I think... you could see when teams have to deal with expectation when they never did before. Like the Jaguars were kind of that team a year ago, right? The Jaguars win the division 1 year, and then it's like, oh, Trevor Lawrence is going to win it every year. Yeah. It's like, oh, no, now people think you're actually kind of good.
No, he was.
We're all going for you.
He was their Mac Jones. That's what that was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, this, I think, is. I think they can. Yeah.
Did we say D'Amico Ryans? We're going to. D'Amico Ryans, Texas, is a good one. He's there. He's coaching. He played there. I don't remember getting a D'Amico Ryans.
No.
Brian
submission. Cushing.
Somebody said.
Oh,
Brian
you mentioned
Cushing.
That. My bad.
I think that'd be a good one for me.
On that guy.
Well, he was a big guy.
It'd be like very ironic for me to wear it.
Yep.
You know, no muscles versus a guy who was roided out and
you
would just like
tight sleeves.
Smashed his helmet against his head, bleeding all over.
Yeah, looks like exactly. The jersey was still on the hanger.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. He'd like pick up a pencil and like pop a bicep. Like that'd be a very ironic jersey for me to wear. That's true.
Last question: what is your first thought when you hear Houston Texans?
I kind of think of the Jack Easterby, like, bad comedy routine, like, that whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of think of that whole era, and we talked about this yesterday. The Texans now are a Super Bowl contender, and they have the answer at quarterback, and they're a free agent destination. But just, like, 3-4 years ago, they were a complete joke, and Jack Easterby was at the forefront of it. That's kind of what I think of.
I think of two things. So, one, just David Carr being an expansion franchise, you know, very much, like... What, 2002 was their first year? So, like, the Patriots had already won a Super Bowl, and then the Texans show up. They draft David Carr. It's the guy that everybody points to. And every time we say play Drake May, you always have the people like, what about David Carr? So you think about them being an expansion team and being terrible, and they tried to pair up David Carr with Jabbar Gaffney, and you thought that was going to be something, and it wasn't. I also think of all the teams, and these are a lot of Bill O'Brien teams, but they had J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins. And yet every time they played the Patriots, Watt did nothing, Hopkins did nothing. It was like the Patriots and Belichick could take those guys out of the game. They're like, that's all you have is one guy on defense, one guy on offense. So that would get you 10 wins, but then you get to the playoffs and you play a real team, and it's like, oh, you guys are just...
Tom Savage was starting playoff games for him.
Well, that's also true. I mean,
that doesn't help.
With the exception of Watson, they've never really had a quarterback until now.
What do you mean? They gave Brock Osweiler $72 million.
They did. They gave Osweiler a lot of cash.
Let me give you something else that jumped into my head, and I guess I didn't remember the second Super Bowl. The 28-3 Super Bowl was in Houston. I guess I didn't remember that. I remember the Carolina Super Bowl was in Houston. I do remember, meaning when they won in 2003, or I guess, February 2004.
That was the first Radio Row I went to was Houston.
Okay, yeah. against the Falcons.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they've won two Super Bowls there. Not that that's Texans related, but in that stadium, at Reliant Stadium or whatever it's called now, NRG Stadium. That is where they've won a couple of Super Bowls. So that's another thing that popped into my head.
All right.
Okay. Four pack of questions each and every Friday here on Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Friday. We'll be joined later in the program by DeMarcus Covington, Patriots defensive coordinator, Mike Nwenu, Patriots right guard. We also have Keefe's Keys at 1 o'clock sharp, so mark that down. But coming up next, misleading. We do it every day. We revisit something from the leads on the Greg Hill Show. That's next.
It's time for misleading.
You've heard the leads on the Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was, so.
On Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's misleading, where we revisit something that went down on the Greg Hill Show earlier today. We'll get back into the Patriots and the Texans, your expectations for Drake May, and whether or not the full team is on board. That would include the offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt. It's Patriots Friday, so we have DeMarcus Covington and Mike Nwenu joining us at some point. Keefe's Keys on the way at 1 o'clock, but I was very entertained listening to the Greg Hill Show, as always, Keefe.
Uh-huh.
Driving in, they had Pudge's Pals going on today, Dogs in Studio.
Oh, puppy in the house.
I hate to keep forgetting the man's name. Dermot.
We had a singer-songwriter, I believe, was in the house as well.
Hang on.
Crushing tunes.
Hang on. Dermot's.
Not Mulroney.
Not Mulroney.
Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney. I always had a really difficult time.
Dermot Kennedy
was here.
Is who was here in studio. That's and right. So a big day on the Greg Hill Show. But they also talked about a story in the news.
Okay.
About attendees at a barbecue in Western North Carolina.
All right.
Who fell dreadfully ill with flu-like symptoms.
Oh, boy.
After being served undercooked bear meat.
Bear meat?
It was infected with a rare parasite.
Oh, no.
A CDC report has revealed. Well, this is part of the issue.
You got to cook the bear meat through. You can't have that
properly cooking through the bear meat. And so they did a feature that I had not heard before. I believe it was called Would Wiggy Eat It?
Yeah.
And no one else on the program was willing to eat bear meat outside of Wiggy.
Really?
Yeah, it baffled me. I go, would I eat bear? Of course I would eat bear meat. Why would you not eat bear meat?
I'm kind of like a garbage disposal, so I feel like...
You are.
Yeah, I'd eat anything. Yeah. I'd try. But so...
Right.
First of all, how do you serve
it? If bear meat were left in studio...
I'd eat it.
Two days later, Keith would eat it.
Yeah, exactly. Is it a bear burger, or is it just like a bear steak?
Great question. I'm guessing it's like a steak, maybe a steak tip.
Yeah.
Maybe...
It's not wings.
It's not wings.
No. Is it tendies?
I don't think it's a burger, but it's a good question, Keith. I don't know how the bear meat is served.
Now, I wouldn't
feel... Do I get like a sauce with it?
You would probably need a sauce.
Yeah.
I don't
like a good dip in sauce.
I don't love the idea of eating a bear. I mean, I would do it. I would try it. But
see,
like,
I love the idea of it.
Look at them. They got one up on the old Twitch stream. They're so pretty. I like a bear.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of thrilling to eat closer to the top of the food chain?
Not really.
Is it not?
It doesn't thrill me, no.
You don't want to eat like a saber-toothed tiger or something like that?
No.
Like really go to
lobster,
the top.
Lobster, shrimp,
polar bear.
Scallops are very low on the food chain. Yeah, I enjoy eating them very much.
They are delicious.
Yeah, right. So I don't need to eat like... Because now you're like one step away from person.
Any schlub.
Like you're like, oh, like an equal.
Yeah.
It's the most dangerous game.
Right.
No, I'm not there.
You're saying you wouldn't eat a person.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I wouldn't eat everything. I would not eat a person. Now, if it was like a yellow jacket situation.
Hang on. You're just taking person off the table. You wouldn't eat a person?
I don't think so.
What about in a survival situation?
Well, that's different.
Okay, well then don't take it off the table. Then.
Well, I'm not at a restaurant in Western North Carolina. Well, hey, we have Steve on the menu.
I wouldn't order one off the menu, but in a survival situation,
yeah,
I'm eating a person.
Like right away, or did you get like real hungry? You're like, well, it is lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, you can't wait a day. We might get rescued.
Dude, we've only been on the island for like an hour.
Yeah, I know, but I usually eat by now. Like, that's not how this is.
Okay, but you just took it right off the table. Yeah, I'm not taking human off the table.
I think you would be beyond desperate times.
Okay. But bear, you're in or out on bear? I'm confused.
So my point is, if I was on like the real world challenge, and they were like, hey, this challenge is bear, I would eat bear.
Oh, there's so much worse on that show.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I would then of course I would eat.
Yeah,
but
like
if
a
I was
fear factor or challenge type thing.
Yeah, but if I was at this restaurant and it was like regular burger, bear burger, I'd be like, I'll have regular burger.
I think you're giving this much too much credit. I don't think it was a restaurant. It was a barbecue.
Okay.
Like a hillbilly barbecue.
So they just found a bear
in Western North Carolina, which, by the way, I understand it's been devastated by Helene, so like I don't know the timeline on this, but like, you know, you're at like a barbecue in Western North Carolina. I don't think this was on the menu, Keith. But
so
my point.
Turbo Dangerfield in the Twitch chat.
Yes,
I had a bear burger once. It was fine, not something I'd seek out.
Okay, I heard a caller to the Greg Hill Show today say this individual, I believe, said he lived in New Hampshire. It might have been Maine.
Maybe
said
New Hampshire.
He said he hunted bear.
Yeah,
okay,
probably New Hampshire,
and said it tastes awful because the bear diet is. They're eating out of dumpsters and garbage cans, and they're eating literal garbage, which means they kind of taste like garbage.
They go after my parents' bird feeders. Like, if they don't take them in at night, there'll be black bear out there.
But I bet that's a I bet that's a tasty bear.
Just eating bird feed?
Yeah.
I
mean, think of some of the feed.
Seeds?
Okay, think of some of the feed that, like,
we fatten them up on sunflower seeds.
But think of, like, the feed that cows and hogs and stuff eat, and that's those taste delicious.
Like a Kobe beef.
You're feeding that guy lobsters.
Plumping them right up. Plumping them right up.
Yeah, whatever they want.
Yeah.
No, so anyway, I mean, I would eat it. So Wiki said he would, but everybody else said no on that?
You're saying in, like, a dare situation you would eat it.
Yeah.
But not in, like, a... choosing to eat. What if you were at? What if you're like,
if
hey,
it was just bear?
Hey, your buddy hunted some bear. You're from New Hampshire.
I am from New Hampshire, but I think
you're not an outdoorsman.
I don't think. No, I'm an indoor cat.
I'm from Vermont. I'm also not an outdoorsman.
No, we're indoor cats.
But I have buddies who hunted all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I
know that's shocking. I don't even like looking at. I don't even like walking outside and looking at the night sky. But I'm saying I had buddies who hunted all. I don't think I had buddies who hunted
bears.
No, I'm saying I don't think so. But I had plenty of friends who hunted.
Forget
deer and things
image
like that?
Of Yogi Bear representing Yellowstone. We're talking about a sleeping Godzilla.
Muzzle loader season for moose? Like I'm saying, I have buddies who hunted. I don't think bear. But like, so your buddy hunts a bear.
Okay.
And he's like, come on over. We're cooking it up. You wouldn't go eat it.
No, maybe I would.
I would.
As Yogi Bear said,
perfect.
Some you win, some you lose, perfect. Some get rained out.
Yogi Berra once said
it was about the barbecue.
It was about the barbecue. I guess in that case, like, it would be one of those, like, I'll try it once.
The prevailing fear on the Greg Hill show,
is it cooked? Well, I need to see him cook it.
Well, that was their fear, is this parasite.
Yeah, I don't want that.
That's the issue. And apparently,
I got worms. That's what I'm going to call it.
That's what we're calling it. There were 22 to 34 attendees, by the way, at this barbecue. So a lot of bear meat to go around. But
people are saying bear meat's gross. People on the Twitch chat or text line have had it. Oh, bear jerky. See, now maybe bear jerky
I feel like if you're worried about the parasite, that should take care of the parasite. Not going to be alive in jerky.
What's the weirdest thing you've eaten?
I mean, nothing too crazy. Okay, yeah. Like elk? Like, is that like...
Elk?
Yeah. That's probably the craziest thing I've eaten.
Yeah.
There was a place, is Tip Tap Room still open over on Beacon Hill? That place used to serve like some wild meat.
Wild meat?
Wild meat.
Yeah.
Like kangaroo. I'm bison. Not even joking.
Oh, kangaroos?
I'm not even joking. Kangaroo and stuff.
Kangaroos are real mean. Like, that's the thing about kangaroos. Okay, so I've done a little kangaroo research.
Yeah?
Do you remember that one video of the kangaroo that was drowning the dog?
Oh.
Remember that?
The guy ran over and, like, punched
the guy ran over and, like, punched this thing, like, went back and, like, took another swing at him. And, like, he was just standing there. It looked like something out of a horror movie. He was in, like, a little, like, pond, and he was probably, like, 2-3 feet in.
Yeah.
And a dog was swimming around, and he grabbed it and was just holding it under the water.
Okay.
Like, with his mitts. You're just trying to drown the dog.
I know they'll take a swipe at you. Like, I know that.
He was trying to drown the dog. And then the owner had to run in there and, like, box him a little
bit. They're basically giant rats.
Yes.
I mean, a kangaroo is basically a giant rat.
Yes.
Is all it is. So
look at this video now. Look at it right there. Look at him. Look how jacked he is. The kangaroo. And then he's like, get out of here. And he had to drop his camera. Probably got a little wet there, but he still got the video. A lot of views.
So
on
did the dog make it or not?
Yeah, the dog. Yeah, okay, the dog
squared.
Look at him. Look at him now. Wait till he pops up. Look at that.
Wow.
You messing with that guy?
I'm not squaring up with that. It looks like Brian Cushing.
Yeah,
I'm not squaring up with that guy.
It does.
That was a kangaroo roid race.
No, but it's funny.
No, thank you.
Because some animals, I feel like big kangaroo got out in front of this, and they were looked at as kind of like a nice animal. Remember growing up? You're like,
they
have
kangaroo
the
Jack was like the.
Oh, that was
that.
That was a big dog.
Yes, it was holding him under. It was like an Australian sheepdog or
something
whatever.
Like
and
that.
He was like holding him under.
Wow.
They're terrifying. Somebody also is saying that they're delicious.
Yeah.
I didn't
try it. I didn't order it when I was on the menu. But I there's something thrilling about going to the top of the food chain and eating it.
Tip Tap Room still open.
Still open.
They serve boar meatballs.
Nice.
Boar meatballs.
How about that? It's been a while. Kathleen used to live over there. I right around the corner from there. I've been there in a long time. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, I've had lamb, I think.
Yeah, lamb. I remember it being more adventurous over there. No disrespect to the Tip Tap Room, but I remember wilder meats.
Yeah, post-COVID.
Raised wild boar gnocchi. Or gnocchi.
Gnocchi?
Oh, boar gnocchi. Sure.
A lot of boar on that
Some
menu.
Gnocchi.
It's mostly boar.
Yeah.
I think we ran into like a ton of boar, so we're going to have to dress it up in a variety of ways.
Make sure you cook your bear meat over there.
Yeah.
617-779-7937.
Are you taking the bear meat calls?
Well, I can tell you the hunting calls are lining up. So let's see where we go with these bear meat calls. You want to talk about eating bear? There's apparently a lot of you that do. You can jump in line here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to the Patriots and the Texans on Sunday at Gillette Stadium, the debut of Drake May, plus the Patriots Friday, DeMarcus Covington, Mike Unwenu, all that comes your way next.